Trump likes to impose his will. That's his nature. Iran is building up and growing stronger with each passing week. The Russians are doing something very similar. The Chinese are not far behind, because the lessons that we are imparting to them is that the only thing we respect is the use of force. That's the problem. We aren't approachable. You cannot conduct normal diplomatic relations with the United States. The United States only understands the use of force. What a catastrophe for the American people.
To the extent that you can kind of project forward, say, I don't know, 2, 3, maybe 5 years, what do you expect to be going on behind the scenes with the Iranians, and how much more difficult might that make a future attempt, whether by Israel or by Israel and the United States, to again bomb their nuclear facilities?
I don't think Israel will allow us to wait that long, because they're not stupid. They have good intelligence, and they know that what I'm saying is accurate. So the probability of getting more than a few months before we see another collision is very low. They know they're in a position now where if they can't strike and they can't persuade us or drag us into the fight with them, they could lose. So the longer you wait, the stronger your opponent gets. But you don't necessarily reach that level of military supremacy that you had in the past, just as we could not achieve that after the Cuban Missile Crisis. So we ended up with parity. Now, we had different goals than the Israelis do. But for the Israelis, it boils down to a win or die proposition in their minds. That's the way they see it. So, again, that's why I think, and I don't doubt that probably President Trump believes what he says, but I don't think we're going to get very far before we have another collision with Iran. I just don't know when it will occur. Have we bought some additional time? Maybe. But, you know, time is not working in our favor in Ukraine. Time is not working in our favor in the Middle East. And time is certainly not working in our favor in Asia. The Chinese are not sitting idly by. They're building and expanding their capabilities, because everybody believes it's the only thing that we pay attention to. We only respect the use of force.
And if I could just ask in the final segment here, and staying on that theme of the use of force, what do you make of these building up of combat power in the our own hemisphere around Venezuela, and more conversations about going after the Maduro regime? What do you think of that?
Well, obviously, I think it's a bad idea, because I don't think that Venezuela is a large and powerful state in military terms. It's very large. It's about the size of Germany and France and Switzerland together. It's huge. They've got almost 30 million people. Their armed forces are respectable for the global South, but they're not going to present much of a challenge for us. On the other hand, they've also got 600,000 militia inside the country. And rather than impale themselves on us, they could certainly provide the foundation for an insurgency against any lingering U.S. military presence in that country. And I think what's even more dangerous in my judgment is that they will become this rallying point for Latin America against us. You know, we're not exactly popular in that part of the world, never have been. That part of the world has always been jealous and envious of us. After all, we were the evil white Yankee Protestants, and they were the Latino Catholics, and they hated us, and they were encouraged to hate us, because the regimes in that part of the world always blamed all of their problems on us. I mean, it's sort of the same thing that you now hear in the United States. Well, the reason we don't have this, the reason we don't have that, it's those Chinese, you know, it's the same mentality. Only now it's the evil Americans, you know, are responsible for everything. Why do we want to feed that? Why not come to some sort of arrangement? I'm told, or at least Zero Hedge published this article, I've heard rumors about it, indicating that Maduro is willing to grant some sort of substantial stake investment from us in his country, in the oil and gas industries. That makes a lot of sense. We have the best oil and gas engineers in the world. Why do we have to invade? Why do we have to have regime change? Well, that seems to be what we've been at for the last, 30 years, repeatedly. It's the same people that brought us strategic disaster in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya. They're behind this as well. That should be enough to scare the dickens out of everybody in the United States. But no one is debating it on the Hill. I don't hear anybody debating anything, just as they failed to debate what we were doing in the Middle East. Now, we can attribute that to the Israeli money that is poured in, or Israeli-backed money, to buy up support. But now we're talking about Venezuela. What are we going to do in Venezuela? How many of these people will make themselves dependent upon us, upon our largesse? How many, what have you got, 2 or 3 million people living in the various cities on the coast? And I'm told that they're looking for food in garbage heaps, that they're raiding trash points to find things to eat. If that's the case, what are they going to demand from us if we enter the country? And then we haven't even begun to discuss those who will resist us. I just don't see any benefit to this sort of thing. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah, and again, it seems like you have this belief that you can just compel or physically coerce those to your bend to your will. Unfortunately, we seem to be going down that path. We do have a few more minutes here, and I would like to have your comments on what you think about the new tariff that's been imposed on China, now 100% slapped on top of what was already there, and how that could negatively impact our economic situation. Or do you think that China will budge and give in?
No, China will not give in, and there's no reason why they should. I don't have it with me right now. If I'd known you were going to ask that question, I would have sent you this in advance. But there's a wonderful chart that was presented to me yesterday, and the chart looked at all the major areas of commerce that involved the United States with China. It looked at all the Chinese interests in the United States, and it concluded that in terms of dependency, about 3% of China's economy is in any way, shape, or form linked to us and is in any way, shape, or form dependent upon us. 3%. Now, if that's all the Chinese have invested in us, what difference does it make what our tariffs say or do? They'll go elsewhere. They're the biggest market in the world now. Everybody knows it. Everybody wants to do business in China. Everybody wants access to their markets. So I don't think the Chinese are going to pay a great deal of attention to us.
Fascinating.
They could certainly cut us off. And we have far greater interest in what the Chinese provide to us than they do in what they provide to us, or what we provide to them. I mean, the bottom line is, you look at this thing with rare earths. This is a disgrace. We've been dependent on these rare earth minerals for a long, long time. You have in Canada a huge cachet. Just go up to Alberta, and there are plenty of rare earths up there that you can get at fairly readily. We have rare earths in this country, but it hasn't been profitable to go after them in most cases. You know, as I discovered down in Kentucky and parts of West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, the coal seams, and this is bituminous coal, the coal seams are full of rare earths. And you can get at those. But we haven't done any of it. You know, why not? Well, we didn't need to. We got it from China. We don't have a refinery. We can't refine the rare earths. What, we ship everything to China, and they refine it. Or to Kazakhstan, that has a rare earth refinery. This is incredible. And people will come back and say, well, you know, we have environmental restrictions. I'm sure we probably do. But the idea that we are the great power we think we are, and we do not have a refinery, is incomprehensible.
Yeah, totally agree.
And if we're really interested in this, there should be somebody in charge of it across the government that is involved in finding, identifying, and pouring investment in to the extraction of rare earths. Where is it? You know? We are become a society where everything is short term. You know, we don't care how much money we're making in 5 years. We want to know what we can make in the next quarter. We're worried about our position today. This is the problem. There is no strategy behind anything. There is no strategy behind Venezuela. There's no strategy behind this. Peace is broken out all over in the Middle East. There is no strategy behind what's being done in Ukraine. Everything is impulse and short-term driven. It's coming home to roost. And unfortunately, I don't see any evidence that people in this administration are putting together a coherent strategy for anything. It's going to destroy us if we're not careful. The best thing we can do is pull out of these places, shed these unnecessary commitments, and retrench. And your military repurposing this old structure with fewer and fewer and fewer soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines, it's not the answer.
No, it's not the answer. And I'm glad you're pointing out those things, because those are too many questions that don't even get asked, much less answered by anybody in this country today. So glad for you to come and provide this very, very clear just analysis of what's going on, and also a prescription for what we can do to fix it. And toward that end, I wonder if you could kind of give us any update on how your conversation in Dallas went there on October 4th, and if there's any hopes to have any additional ones to expand the conversation.
Oh, I think we will do this again. This was the first attempt. The good news is that people that were there are with the exception of very, very few people, are extremely thoughtful and imaginative. And so we're now being flooded with more recommendations, suggestions, and good ideas than we can easily assimilate in a short period of time. But we'll be back, and we'll do something like this again. But we also have to attract more people with an interest in what we want to do. And these are some of the things that you and I and others have discussed in the alternative media. You know, getting out of this business of perpetual conflict that serves the interests of a very small minority of people in Washington and New York City and London, and focus on the United States, not from the standpoint of what can we do next week, but where do we want to be in 5 and 10 years? That's where we need to focus. And we better do it soon, because we've got a lot of problems that will blow up in our face right here at home inside our borders. And I think Americans sense that. I think they know that.
And is there like an email address or something where people can go to maybe get connected to you, or get on a mailing list or something, so they can
Go to the nationalconversation.org, to that website. There's an opportunity there for you to express your opinion, and also an opportunity to go there and keep up with where we think we're headed next.
Yeah, we got that address right on the bottom of the screen right there. Yeah, so go to that address right there and put in your information and get connected, so you can be part of this conversation, because I'm eager to see where it goes.
And also let us know where you think we should go next. I mean, we're going to go back to Dallas next year, but where are we going to go within the next 12 months? We have to pick some other places to go. And if there are people that have strong feelings and would like us to come to their area and could help us support it, well, then please let us know.
That'll be awesome. Be looking forward to that. Well, thank you very much, Doug. We always appreciate it. And we'll see everybody next time on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.
Thanks, Dan.